Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello and welcome everyone on this August 14, 2020. I'm glad you are here today with us to join us on the Bible on Trial. We'll get started in just a minute, but before we do, I want to remind you of our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find writing by Rick Sterling and our book, The Spirit of the Church. And you can also go to spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, and you can look around there for some historic writing and some biographies, and you can go to the new book page and read about how the book was actually, how God actually worked in getting that book published. So we encourage you to do that. Let us start with prayer, and we will get right into it. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a peaceful and joyous time together here for the next hour as we search to learn the truth. I pray, Father, that your will through the Holy Spirit will be in us, that your mind through the Holy Spirit will be in us, and that your truth will permeate wherever we are heard, so that we will know how to not just live our lives, but how to promote that truth in the world so that your kingdom can come. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
It is nice to have you here in person. And good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Dennis. And good day to all of our listeners. Mm-hmm. I would encourage our listeners
to wear their seatbelts.
Yes, if you have a seatbelt on your chair or sofa or wherever you're listening to this. Some I know listen to it in their car while they're driving, so maybe you should pull over.
I was going to say, be a little careful. Don't get distracted.
The world is in turmoil. Very distraught people who are in the know, those who are not trying to ignore what is going on. And there are those who don't pay any attention to quote-unquote politics or the goings-on in the countries of the world. But I think there are more and more people paying attention to what is going on. A few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, I was talking about Project Looking Glass, that Project Looking Glass is a system of looking at future possibilities. The program runs on algorithms that have been set up by past realities. And so what the computer scientists operation Looking Glass do is they put in various probabilities, have the program run it, and spit out what it says these possibilities would bring about in the future. Do you know what a looking glass is?
It is a mirror.
Yeah.
I got one.
Larry just happens to have a mirror in his shirt pocket.
I don't know if anybody's better prepared for this than he is. Jeez.
Now, I don't know if any of you have looked at the esoteric description and depiction of a mirror. But I think that Dennis probably has somewhat of a idea.
In what way?
Alice in Wonderland. Oh. How many people have read or heard the story of Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, yeah. And it was definitely a high for the writer.
Like the caterpillar, right?
Right.
You remember the caterpillar?
I do.
What was the caterpillar's...
He wore a bowler.
Question. Yeah, and he was puffing on a hookah.
Sort of right. Recommending this for research.
The caterpillar looked at Alice and said, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm Alice." "No, who are you?" Alice got out of the rabbit hole and she went into her living room, I believe. It's been a long time since I read the book. And in her living room, there was a large mirror. She looked in the mirror and she saw some things which she was interested in. And so this time, instead of going down a rabbit hole following a white rabbit that was late for an important date, she stepped through the looking glass into another world, a world where there was an evil queen. All the characters were playing cards, and the evil queen was the Queen of Hearts. And of course, all of her soldiers, guards, whatever, needed to paint the roses red, because if it was not a red rose, she would have their head. So they were feverishly painting all the roses before the queen would notice that one of them was not red. All of this has some very esoteric, occult meanings to it. And I'm not going to go into that because that's not what this is about. Project Looking Glass is a way through a computer program to step through the mirror and see what reality there is. And get the get information to use to try and affect that future. There are several AI, artificial intelligence, in computers involved in this. And it came about that every single one of them, and I think there's somewhere like 16 or so, 16, 17, something like that. And these several computers never came up with the very same conclusion. These computers would come up with various outcomes for scenarios that were programmed into them. They would program in the same scenario into all these computers
and change a variable.
And these computers would spit out variations, and then they would go from there and they would tweak from there. But one day, and this is, I don't know what, a couple of years ago or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, somewhere, just a few years ago, all of the computers gave them the same future outcome. And no matter how they, what they changed, how much they tried to affect it, every single computer gave them the same future reality. So they thought something must be wrong with the programs or wrong with the computer. That's when they brought in Bill Wood, who was instrumental in originating the computer software system for Project Looking Glass. He ran his programs to see what was wrong, and his program told him there was nothing wrong, that the software was behaving just as it was designed to do. How is it that no matter what they did to the present, a change here, a change there, all their computers were giving them the same outcome? Keep that in mind. Turn to Daniel chapter 2.
Somebody else was in control of the world of theirs.
I'm not going to give you the backstory because we have a limited amount of time, and I would like to get into this at least to a place where we could finish it tomorrow. But Daniel lived in Judah, and probably Jerusalem. He was a member of the royal family, but not one direct. He was like a nephew or a cousin or something like that. But Daniel had been a God-fearing member of the royal family. And I would say that God had always been real to him. God had always been a part of his life. God was leading him. God had not contacted Daniel, at least that I know of. There's no record of that in Daniel. But God trusted. I mean, Daniel trusted God, and God trusted Daniel. Daniel knew what the prophet Jeremiah had said. He knew what the prophet Isaiah had said. Daniel may have heard Jeremiah in person. Did I say Daniel trusted God? I want to say a brief a few things about trust. Trust is not faith. Faith is hopeful expectation. But whatever it is that you are expecting depends upon the information upon which that is based. Trust works with truth. If your expectation is based in truth, it is not faith. It is trust. You trust God, because God has always behaved in a certain manner based on certain principles. And these principles, he has had his servants write down. And God has preserved that information so that we can trust in him to do what he has always said he will do. If your trust is in a lie, you will be disappointed and you will not get what you are expecting. Daniel trusted God, and the prophet Jeremiah had explained that when Nebuchadnezzar came with these armies to lay siege to Jerusalem, that immediately when this had happened, the people who would leave the city and willingly submit themselves to the king of Babylon, it would go well for them. They would be treated well. They would go back to Babylon, and they were instructed to move into houses and plant gardens and work in Babylon as if they had lived there all along, as if they were a native citizen. But they were never to forget their God. Those who trusted in the Word of God turned themselves over to the king, just as God's prophet Jeremiah had instructed, and they were treated well. They were taken to Babylon. They were given houses. They planted gardens. They lived among the people as if they were native citizens. And Daniel was this also, but because Daniel was a member of the royal household, he was included amongst the advisors and the wise men in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, in his court. He was in the group of what is described as the conjurers, sorcerers, and magicians, and the magician or Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans and the magicians in those days, they were the scientists. But they studied the stars, and they studied the earth, and they studied the ancient texts, and they would basically foretell the fortunes and the future by the use of these tools. So when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and apparently, I mean, there's a lot of this and that and the other thing about what was going on around this dream, but Nebuchadnezzar was lying on his bed thinking about the future and what a great person he was, and how he had built the great city Babylon, and now he had this great empire of Babylon, and why you could probably compare him to a god. But he thought as a mortal and said, what's going to happen to all this after I'm gone? Who is going to take over, and what are they going to do with all this that I have built and all this that I've put together? And while he's thinking about this, he has a dream vision. I think the fact that he was not asleep when he went into vision made him aware of the fact that this was not really a dream like you would have when you go to sleep at night. He saw all of this, and at the end of the dream, he woke up, is what it says. But I think he understood that what he just experienced was not just some random dream, but it was actually some information that he was being given. So, of course, he calls upon those who purportedly have a connection to the gods, and he asks them to tell him the meaning of the dream. He realizes that if he tells them the dream, he will get an interpretation after they've got together and discussed what the elements of the dream were and then contacted their spiritual sources, probably, and then they would come back with an interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar must have known that anything that comes out of a committee can never be true, accurate, or useful. So he did not tell them what the dream was, and this made them very upset. Made the king very upset because they couldn't tell him what the interpretation of a dream that he didn't explain to them. So you know the rest of the story here. Daniel prayed to God. God gave him the vision, and he gave him the interpretation of the vision. Think of all the variables. Now, we're thinking about the AI computers, the Looking Glass, Project Looking Glass. How many variables do you think could happen between Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the Son of God coming to earth and starting his ministry? How many variables How many variables between what the angel Gabriel told Daniel about the future of Israel? How many variables? How many variables could the devil throw in to this whole process to affect the outcome? How many?
How about infinity times two?
All that the devil has been able to do from the time when God started the process to establish a kingdom here on earth, when the devil had taken the people for his own and he was ruling them as their king. And so there was a kingdom of the world. And there is one very significant part, differentiation between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God. There is one critical difference, and that is that the kingdom of the world does the will of Satan, and the kingdom of God does the will of God. And what I mean by doing God's will is they obey God's law, his instructions. And in the prayer, the Son of God taught his disciples to pray. It starts out with those two important elements. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just as it is in the heavens. So the kingdom of the heavens learns the will of God, and when they do the will of God, they enter the kingdom of God. The devil can only affect the future of his kingdom. He cannot affect the future of the kingdom of God. And God has made known what the future is of those who are in his kingdom. And he has made it abundant.